corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Turning to throw it in. Near side of the basket to our right. Throws to the corner. There's Lillard. He'll fade. He'll fire. It's up and no good. It's no good. And for the first time in over 50 years, the NBA will see a team go to the finals for five straight seasons. Final score, Golden State 119, Portland 117. The Warriors win in overtime and sweep the Western Conference Finals 4-0.
And that's how it sounded, Tim Roy, last night here on 95.7 The Game, sending the Warriors back to the NBA Finals, a fifth straight year in a row with a sweep over the Portland Trailblazers. Overtime had not been kind to the Golden State Warriors, hadn't won in overtime once all season. Portland Trailblazers won that epic four overtime game just a round before. But this time around, the magic number is four. El Sweepo Broomhilda goes up to the Moda Center to take care of the Warriors last night. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. It is wonderful to have you here. Ray Ratto is back in. And Ray, we got a team that is, I guess, everything we thought it would be when it was all said and done. You know, there are times where a little inkling of doubt or disappointment might creep into the formula, but the formula pretty much is, if you're patient enough and wait long enough, you'll find them back in the NBA Finals, and here they are again.
Well, it's a tribute to our ability to try to make something of the regular season when it really isn't. I mean, that's how good they are. The regular season doesn't matter. And most teams, at least for playoff seeding, if nothing else, the regular season matters. They do what is required to position themselves for the season. I mean, the regular season is preseason for them in some ways. So when we overreact to them mailing a night in, then we overreacted. Because you see, they're still fresh. You know, and the fact that they didn't use any bench against Houston, it wasn't that he'd lost confidence in them. He just knew, I'll need them later. I mean, at some point, the process is sitting there slapping you in the face and saying, you will trust me. They're not even asking whether you buy in anymore. It's just, look, here are the skins. You want to argue? Go ahead.
Jacob Evans got first quarter minutes last night. That's all you need to know. Jacob Evans got first quarter minutes last night. Damian Jones and Jordan Bell get starts last night. McKinney, Looney, these guys come in and play huge roles last night. And even as a superstar is unable to go in Kevin Durant, another steps up in his place, and boy, did Steph Curry step up. In terms of an NBA postseason history, he is the most scoring player in a four-game sweep of an opponent. I'm sure you've already seen this, but the number, the tail of the tape, was in 2001 Western Conference Finals. Kobe dropped 140 in a sweep. LeBron James, 2017 Eastern Conference Semifinals, had 144. Shaq, back in the 2002 Finals, in a sweep, had 145. Curry, 146 points, the highest scoring individual in a four-game sweep history. His 36.5 points per game in postseason series, also an NBA record in a postseason sweep. And I'm just wondering, Ray, if we can get the next 10 days off of asking, or having national media ask the question, is Steph Curry really a guy who could drive the bus for a team through a big game? How many years in a row does he have to tell you yes before you start assuming, yeah, he could do that?
11.
Yeah, I guess that's,
no, that's the correct number.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem.
Six more to go.
Right. Here's the problem with every question about the national debate over the Warriors. The Warriors created this by sucking the suspense out of seasons. Right. You have to feed the beast, and the beast is now more hours every day than it's ever been. But the Warriors are not giving you a lot of fuel for the daily debate. It's just, okay, well, here we are. We just won again. Stephen Curry is still great. Klay Thompson's still great. You just rediscovered Draymond Green. You know, I blame the Warriors for this. If they were a five seed a couple of times and had to scramble, maybe. You know what their scramble was? Last year when they were a two. Right. You know, I mean, just it's, you know, what was their biggest opponent in the last two seasons during the regular season? Themselves. You know, where's the angst in that? Where's the drama in that? There is none. So, yeah, people are grinding. We want something else. We want some drama. Well, this is when the drama happens. The NBA season is now a month and a half. Deal with it.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to be taking your calls early and often throughout the show today. Ethan Sherwood Strauss from The Athletic will be joining us at 4 o'clock. Former Golden State Warrior Matt Barnes at 4:45. We'll have a trifecta at 5:30. Otherwise, we are open to talk to you about what is nothing short of an iconic accomplishment. It really is. I know that you've been sold this lie, this falsehood, that the only thing that now matters in sports is a championship count. And there's a part of me that's always going to respect that championship count. There's always a part of you that should. But sometimes the story ends without a title. We actually saw the Warriors go through that once in this stretch. The crazy thing is that year I look back maybe as more fondly as I do with any other year the Warriors have played. Their five-year expression of basketball is absolutely legendary. And it's happened in front of our eyes, on our watch. And instead of looking forward, it's a little too early to do that, to what might be waiting for them in the finals. We don't even know who the opponent will be. We'll get a closer look when the Eastern Conference Finals resume with Milwaukee leading 2-1 in that series. But we have history in front of us. The Warriors are 18-1 in playoff series under Steve Kerr. Remember when just losing a playoff series would be a step in the right direction for this franchise? It's really remarkable. And I will ask you, as we sit around talking about the players who come and go, the players that are the foundation that this whole thing is built on, is Steve Kerr the most underappreciated part of this dynasty? And I know that we appreciate Steve Kerr. I'm confident that we appreciate Steve Kerr. I'm confident that if you listen to Steve Kerr on this show, that you appreciate him and you hear from him more than anyone else who wears a Warriors uniform. Yet he is still an underappreciated player in the formula. He is now the first coach in NBA history to make the NBA Finals in his first 5 years of coaching. He has masterfully guided this team around on-court drama, off-court drama, injuries, egos, the grind of another 100-plus games all in regular and postseason run combined. His players love him. The president of basketball ops loves him. His assistants love him. His owners love him. The fans love him, yet I still would say he might be the most underappreciated part of this because we look at the amount of talent that he has at his disposal and we assume, well, who couldn't win with that? You know what? A lot of guys couldn't win with this.
No, it's hard not to screw up a team with this much talent. But I don't think it's a question of underappreciation. I think it's, you know, I don't know that anybody raved about the work Phil Jackson did, except in hindsight. I mean, he won 10 rings, but he had the best players every time. All right? People said, well, he's underappreciated. No, it doesn't matter because at some point they get paid by parade. He's delivered parades. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know who you would put ahead of him. I mean, I think you probably have to put Jackson based on volume. Auerbach, again, based on volume.
Yeah. Popovich.
Popovich. I mean, that's three. I don't know who else, you know, just stands out ahead of him.
Has he surpassed Don Nelson?
Oh, easily. Don Nelson ended up with zero rings.
Right, but most wins ever. It still means something.
It doesn't mean anything.
How about?
Because Don Nelson had to fight like hell just to get into the Hall of Fame. He wasn't a first ballot guy.
Lenny Wilkins?
By any means. He's better than Lenny Wilkins. I mean, at some point, what he's built is a team where the argument about who is most important has been rendered unimportant. I mean, it's an irrelevant argument. Is Durant better than Curry? Does it matter? You know, is Thompson more important than Green? Does it matter? Everybody flip-flops on those subjects all the time based on recency bias. which tells me this is the team they wanted to build, the one where the credit doesn't matter in the end because everybody gets their share in their turn. And if you want to credit him for that, more power to you. I think he's part of this because he saw the offensive possibilities in a team that had been structured defensively by Mark Jackson. He lets the players have more rope than most. And in all, he doesn't jump up and down and say, look what I did, which means that nobody else gets that right either. When he and Curry operate the same way, which is, we'll just win. That's the thing that permeates the franchise more than who gets credit and who's most important.
Ethan Sherwood Strauss joins us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Matt Barnes at 4:45. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta. After all, the day of the week is Tuesday. So we're going to do that at 5:30. We're going to be taking your calls early and often. 888-957-9570. Today is a day to hand verbal bouquets to a team that has delivered you to a fifth straight NBA Finals. Something that would be preposterous for even modern Laker fans, Celtics fans to even really dream about. This is uncharted modern territory for all of us, and it's unbelievable that we're here. It is these are the good days, and today, if you want to love your Warriors, you're allowed to. 888-957-9570. Warriors playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. And we won't be bringing you any basketball until what now? Next Thursday, that is going to be game one. May 30th.
May 30th.
May 30th. Thank you very much. May 30th is game one of the NBA Finals. Elena is here, ready to go. She'll tell you what else is coming up today. She's wearing her cool in-studio heart glasses, which means she's in a good mood. Elena, hello.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's really good to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping on by. A little Championship Tuesday. Warriors are Western Conference champions, so you can go ahead and officially say they're champions of the Western Conference.
They don't hang. If they hang banners for that, it's a failure.
You're right about that.
I'm just going to say, put this out right away. The job's not done, and they're the ones who set the bar here. Nobody's going to come away from this if they don't have a parade feeling good.
Oh, you're right about that.
So with those as the parameters, you know, say what you want, but they're not done.
No. There is still one round to go. That round is going to start on the road, which is going to put them in a little bit of a different predicament than they've faced in a playoff series in a long time. The first two games on the road in either Milwaukee or Toronto, I can make an argument that it's going to do them a little good. It's going to be exactly what the doctor ordered. I tell you, there are so many impressive numbers just out of this Portland series that you could, you know, hang your hat on. Curry and Draymond become the first pair of teammates in postseason history to both record a triple-double in the same playoff game. The Warriors are now 29-1 when Draymond Green records a triple-double. Draymond now has 8 career triple-doubles in the NBA playoffs, more than every other player in Warrior team history combined. The Warriors are now 31-1 in their last 32 games when Curry plays and Durant does not. I mean, the numbers are absolutely amazing. To me, the most amazing number, Ray, might be this. And I don't know how many teams could survive one, much less two, much less three. But three of this team's 6 top players did not play in last night's game, and they still win it in overtime. They still had enough muscle.
Congratulations
to Elena for hitting the wrong button. But it's amazing. That right there, 3 of your top 6 are out. That cripples the ability to win, 95% of the time, any other basketball team?
But it proves 2 things. One, the Warriors are built differently than most teams are built. All right, they inherited the top, and the rest of it was figuring out how to use them best. Because even as much as they played their bench against Portland, Portland isn't a match for them, not even close. That's why you don't draw a lot of conclusions out of Portland. And I'm not trying to denigrate the Blazers. They played as well and as hard as they could. but they weren't. They were a terrible match for this team.
Myers Leonard, by the way. What the hell was that?
You know what? That was God kissing a guy who had put up with a lot of crap in that town. And, you know, there was one point at which they were chanting his name last night, and you could see him tearing up because he's eaten a lot of garbage in that town just because he's Myers Leonard.
Well, he's a lottery pick that was never realized.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, he got to have his moment, and more power to him.
Yeah.
You know, if he never gets to a final, he's got that, and good on him. But the other thing about what happened in this series and with the stats that you said is that when you focus on one guy's better than another, or one guy's the leader in the room, or who's this and who has that role, it all becomes nonsense because they are interchangeable in that when you gather, you know, Stephen Curry did not have to get the series he had, but he did. And missing Durant did not become a problem because they have depth and greatness, which is why, you know, are they better with Durant than not Durant? It's an idiotic argument because it separates the thing that makes them special, which is we have more important players than you do, and we always will. And that's how this earned, that's how they got here in 15, 16, 17, and 18, too. They have more cards to play. And it's not going down to the ninth guy on the roster. It's our seven best guys are better than yours. You might have the best single guy on the floor, and if they play Milwaukee, that may very well be true. And if they play Toronto, it may very well be true. But they don't match up as you keep going down the roster. And that's why the Warriors are special. That's why they're better than everybody else and why they have been.
888-957-9570 is the number. About to take your calls real quick. Steve Kerr on this team's pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, I think the championship pedigree, what that means is not panicking in big situations and trusting your teammates, trusting what you're doing out there. I almost called a timeout halfway through that possession because it looked like nothing was happening. And, you know, Draymond just did what Draymond does. You know, he hits big shots. There's a guy who hit five threes in game seven of the finals a few years ago when nobody else could make a shot. You know, he made five threes. He's not even a three-point shooter. So Draymond is just a big-game player. Steph trusted him, and that was obviously the shot of the game.
And when Draymond pulled it, he pulled it pure. He really did.
Hands off Draymond. Up top, Looney. Curry trying to relocate. Gets free. Doubled immediately on the catch. Over to Draymond for three. It's up and good! Draymond Green!
I mean, another guy just stepping up, doing what the team needed. 888-957-9570. Tony is in Oakland. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Damon. How are you feeling?
What's up?
Okay, so just two things. Steve Kerr's to coaching what the Three-Eyed Raven was to that great TV show. Steve Kerr can see everything. He can see talent. He can see opportunity. There's nobody else that puts it together like he can. I read a bunch of stats, and you know we can go on. I can go on and on about the stats, but I won't. What I thought about this morning, I thought the most impressive thing to me last night was the speed and quickness of Draymond Green. He was the one that kept pushing the ball up the floor, like best point guard in the world could push the ball up the floor. I was very happy with tonight, with last night's win.
Thank you very much, Tony. I think we were all very satisfied. I really mean it. Last night's overtime win to close the series borders on a level of satisfaction, just given the circumstances. No KD, no Andre Iguodala, who we saw playing a huge role in the success of this series. You subtract him. Like, eventually, these subtractions are going to catch up with you. And the Warriors are just able to keep on going and chugging. And when they turned and asked guys to play big off the bench, they did it. I mean, Looney, McKinney, they were unbelievable last night.
Well, I think they've both been fantastic all year. You know, Looney has become one of our foundational pieces. He does this every single night. And I think one thing that we've seen in almost every series is as the game goes on and players get tired, Loon gets more and more rebounds. He just has a knack for the ball, really long arms, great feel for the game. And so his rebounding, I think he had 14 tonight, bunch of offensive boards. Really a big key for us. And then, you know, without Andre, we needed every ounce of effort from Alfonso. And up 3-0, you know, going into tonight. So when we went overtime, we just decided let's give Zoe the minutes, and he came through in a big way.
888-957-9570.
Looney is proof that it doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes. It matters who plays the high-leverage minutes. And while you couldn't build a team around him as your center, that's their guy now. He's their best center. More than Cousins, more than Bogut, more than anybody else. He's the guy who gets the bulk of the important minutes, and he never starts. That's your lesson. I mean, they tell you in so many ways without telling you, this is who we are, this is how we work. And Looney is a classic example because you don't need to start him. You need to have him fresh and ready to go when it starts to matter. And throughout this postseason, he's delivered. He's probably the most underrated player, not only on the roster, but probably in the playoffs.
Look, the Warriors were ready to give up on the guy a year ago.
I mean, but in fairness, I get why, because he was a medical disaster.
Right. And nobody could have seen this coming, except the Warriors could make the claim that they did. They were patient. And I tell you, their patience and the payoff that Looney gives them makes me think that, you know, Jordan Bell still is going to have plenty of time to prove that he belongs on this team. And there's a guy last night that, you know, when the bell rang for him, he answered it. Can he put two good games together? That's a question we asked earlier this week. The answer was yes, he did. He finally put two decent outings together.
Yeah. Again, though, I would caution anybody who wants to make a lot of sweeping judgments off this series.
Oh, right.
And I'm not talking to you, but I'm just saying that, you know, today is the day to paint the gold brick gold, which I get. But you're going to see a much differently utilized Warrior team in the final, no matter who they play against. You might not see very much of Jordan Bell in the final. You might not see very much of Alfonso McKinney in the final. Not because there's anything wrong with them, but because the Warriors were built as horses for courses. I mean, end up seeing more Andrew Bogut than you thought you were going to see.
Courses could reveal themselves to lend, you know, more minutes for these guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. All I'm saying is you can't presume anything off of this series any more than you could presume anything off the way the usage rates went in the Houston series. They're radically different teams. And somewhere in the middle, only better is either Milwaukee or Toronto. And that's the new equation. Because that's the real fun of this Warrior team, is figuring out how they deal with a new equation. Because that's what they've done 19 times now. And now they're going to have to do it a 20th.
Seven different starting lineups Steve Kerr has rolled out so far in just this one playoffs alone. This is Edward, Castro Valley. Edward.
Hey, guys. I was just last night and through this series, I think the most exciting part of the series is that Draymond has figured it out. He's figured it out that the anger that he plays with and everything can be tempered, and he has so much more energy. And he was running downhill. Everyone else looked like they were standing in mud that entire series. And I think he's going to find that the game's going to be easier for him. He's going to get more calls from officials. He's increased his value throughout the league if he can maintain this. I mean, it was all, I think, if any revelation throughout that whole series is you saw Draymond figuring it out finally.
No, it's a guy who is getting healthy. He's getting his weight right, and he's getting his on-court priorities right all together, all at the same time, maybe for the first time in an already incredibly successful and decorated career. And now it's all coming together. If you want to take him at his word after game three was pretty impressive.
I'm sure it was disgusting to watch because I felt disgusting playing that way. And I just wanted to, you know, lock back in on the game. I understand that, you know, officials aren't perfect. And, you know, I still have conversations with them now, you know, when they miss a call. But it's a completely different conversation. And, you know, my mom has been really big. My fiance has been really big on just kind of talking to me about that and telling me, you know, to stay locked in on the game. And, you know, I also have some little ones at the house that's enjoying watching me play. I don't necessarily want them to see that. So just try to be more mindful of it.
Hey, look, you never know where you're going to get your inspiration from. Teammates begging you to change your behavior, nothing happened. Coaches begging you to change your behavior, nothing happened. Fan base begging you to change your behavior. Pundits begging you, nothing happened. Your mom and your kids' eyes are on you. Now all of a sudden, there's a connection.
No, his mom did this. I mean, he could talk about the kids all he wants. When mom, who complains about officials on Twitter with the facility of thousands, walks up to you and say, this is getting in the way of my enjoyment. I mean, because she holds the key to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She holds the key to Christmas. And especially her, because basically she can light up a highway flare with a hard stare. So when she says, enough. I don't want to see you arguing with Scott Foster anymore. I don't want to see you making faces at Ed Malloy. It's getting in the way of my good time. That's it. That's it. And if you can't listen to your mother, you're too dumb to play.
Sparky, Alameda. Hello, Sparky.
Thank you for taking my call, you guys. You know, they said actions speak louder than words. What Draymond Green is doing, and I think especially you guys remind him of the clip that he did, he's doing actions, and that's what we want. Not to mention all the other great things that he's doing with the team players. That just sets a good set mind for everybody out there who is a knucklehead, you know. And basically, right on. Go Warriors. We got one more round, and go for the champs.
Thank you very much, Sparky. Speaking of knuckleheads.
The Warriors ain't got no chance of winning without Kevin Durant.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Charles? God. Roscoe in Berkeley. Hello, Roscoe.
Hey, thanks very much. I appreciate these comments about Draymond and Steve Kerr's adjustments, but I want to bring up one thing. Last night, the Warriors out-rebounded Portland by 18, and they get there by pushing the ball up on offense and locking down early on defense. So they get an advantage of both ends, and that was, I think, the stat of last night's game.
Well, that and the fact that Portland just, you know, even though they were 48%, from the field, 39%, just 16 of 41 from downtown. There's a lot of long rebounds that team releases. And the Warriors just felt like they, I don't know, it felt like everybody was better positioned for long rebounds last night than they were in any other game. You had long rebounds just falling in the guys' laps.
Oh, well, but that every time you see a big rebound game from Curry and you will see your share, that's why. And that's because you had two teams that, A, were shooting a very high percentage early on. And B, when Portland started to miss those threes, the long rebounds were going over their guys' heads. So that stat in one game is less meaningful than if you would have seen it throughout the series. And again, you know, Portland is an outlier in a completely opposite way than Houston is. So you'll see statistical anomalies like that.
Right. The Warriors aren't built to be a board dominant team.
No, but when they. But they can chase. They were faster. They could chase down more loose balls. They could chase down more long rebounds. So the number last night was indicative not of their superiority, but just the way the game was played and how they adapt to it.
Ryan in Pleasant Hill. Thank you, Ryan. What do you got?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. What I'm just curious about, I know it's 9 days away now, but what's the starting lineup going to be against the Bucks? Or assuming it's going to be the Bucks, because I think it's debatable you can have Iggy come off the bench now, because I honestly can trust McKinney or I can trust Bell to start against those guys, and you can have Draymond guard Giannis. So I'm just curious what your guys' opinion about maybe Iggy can start coming off the bench now, presuming that Durant won't be back for the first couple of games.
Well, I mean, you just answered your own question, Ryan, because the first thing we need to know is what's the big man's availability? Is Kevin Durant going to be available to start game one on the road of the NBA Finals? If the answer is yes, then yeah, I don't think you open the NBA Finals showing the death lineup right out of the rip. I don't think you play that first minute of game one. You sit on it because you never know when you're going to have to go to that DEFCON 1 scenario. And look, Steve loves to hide a missing link in the starting five.
Well, on the other hand, I mean, and you're right to mention health, because, and it's not just Durant's health, but it's Iguodala's health.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I don't think Kerr necessarily is averse to starting the death lineup just to see, okay, how does this match up for when I need it later? And again, the starting lineup doesn't matter. I mean, four spots are taken. So, you know, the only question is, which center do you want to start? That's it. And we've seen that the center that's most important is the guy that doesn't start. So I don't know if the starting lineup matters much. We know Curry, we know Thompson, we know Durant, presuming health, we know Green. So, you know, do you want to play the death lineup right away? Maybe if you want to be cute, but more likely, you know, they're going to try to, you know, see what they can get away with early on, maybe with Damian Jones, knowing full well that that means Looney's coming on quickly. But Looney's going to get the most important minutes, and that's more important than the starting lineup.
Are you telling me that you're comfortable starting the Splash Brothers in game one of the NBA Finals? Is that what you're telling me, Ray?
I'm not comfortable, but it's the roster I've got. No, I mean, so much of what are they going to do if? What are they going to
do? Right.
The Warriors are not about what they show you at the start of the hand. The Warriors are, okay, you figured that out. Now we're going to do this. You're having a little trouble with that. Well, now we're going to do that. It's not what they show you right away. It's the series of moves they can make that you can't respond to that ultimately means when you're down 18 in the first half, it sort of doesn't matter because they've still got cards to play.
Zach in Oakland, final call of the segment. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk real quick about how things have come full circle. I'm just thinking back to away at the Clippers earlier in the year, and Draymond Green takes the ball at the end of the game, pushes the pace, and makes a mistake. And we're all talking about, oh, the dynasty could be over. The team is fractured. KD and Draymond yelling at each other. Now it's the Western Conference Finals, and fast-paced point guard Draymond Green is the MVP of the series, and they're talking about how resilient the Warriors are.
Well, they were fractured at the time, but they weren't broken. I mean, that's the thing. They have had things like this happen before. David West said so at the end of the season last year. The things you don't know about what goes on. I mean, so this is not a team that holds hands and sings spirituals, you know, between games. They're adult men in a confined space for 9 months out of the year, and there are going to be tensions. It wasn't so much what happened that night in Los Angeles. It's the way they dealt with it. I mean, they had nothing. They had a series of problems. They dealt with them. That's the strength of this team, not that they get along so well. It's that when they don't get along, they deal with it.
Well, and let's be totally honest, too, that a big part of this team moving on from that was Draymond Green going to bed without dessert and not complaining about it the next day. He took his one-game suspension on the chin and said diddly going forward. If there was a way to keep this going, that would have kept it going. He took his medicine.
He did, but he didn't really have a lot of choice.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Because what Steve Kerr said, without saying it, was, you're at fault.
Oh, yeah.
You're at fault. And you can eat this or you can turn this into a thing. And if you want to turn it into a thing, there are more things I intend to do.
Well,
because right now, we're married to everybody remembering May and June.
And you know what I think?
And if you get in the way of that with this, there will be hell to pay. And you're right. Draymond Green heard it. He didn't press it. But that rift didn't get healed right away. It took a while.
Yeah. There was a lot of thawing out to do because Durant was actually chapped about that. And
should have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, it was clear that the Warriors and the Warriors front office and Warriors ownership all voted against Draymond when they voted for
the one-game suspension. Draymond could have used that as an axe to grind and bad feelings. He put it down quickly. Finally, Durant would thaw out, and I think it was the encouragement of teammates who also were saying, hey, Draymond, you were in the wrong here, man. You got to make this right. I know that Curry sent that message. DeMarcus sent that message. It was sent by many, many players, and it was received by a guy who could have been a hothead, and he wasn't. And again, we're back to the maturation process of Draymond Green. We'll come on right back to that thought, Ray. Don't you drop it. We're going to come back to it. We're also going to be coming back to Ethan Sherwood Strauss joining us at 4 o'clock, courtesy of Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, it's incredible. It's definitely, you know, basketball careers aren't that long. If you can get 10 out of it, you're lucky. And so, you know, to be the 5 straight finals, I don't even know what to say about it. You know, this is what you play for. This is our goal every year, and to get here 5 straight times is special. And saying that, we know we still have more work to do. You know, the goal is never just to get to the finals. The goal is to go win the finals.
Draymond Green, and look, that's without a doubt correct. The Warriors don't win the NBA Finals. There isn't a parade. Nobody around here is going to be happy. They all know that. But I really do hope that just for a moment, they'll allow themselves to appreciate the position they put themselves in. Knowing that there's still work to do, to be in a 5th straight NBA Finals is a preposterous team accomplishment. And it's so rare. It's happened so infrequently, really, in the history of any sport. The fact that it's happening now in modern times is just amazing. I mean, it really is. The NBA is built to tear good teams up, to make bad teams better, and it does that quickly on some occasions. The fact that the Warriors have been able to just hold on here in the land of free agency, in the land of everybody gunning for them, in the land of every single team in the NBA mimicking the style they play, it's spectacular what they've been able to accomplish. Ray Ratto, I mean, I don't know how much respect you had for, you know, a 4-time Super Bowl loser like the Buffalo Bills when they went 4 in a row. But to me, to go to as many finals in a row is as impressive as any one-off win could ever be. Sustained excellence, especially now, is the hardest thing to achieve in professional sports.
Yeah, but you can't take how Buffalo got to those 4 finals, those Super Bowls, out of their context. The AFC was clearly the weaker conference then. They were a very good team, but their challenge was always at the end because the best teams were in the NFC. And I think that's something – I mean, that's why when you just say they did X, it's important to go, well, how did they do X? I mean, I think – I'm not sure that Jim Kelly would trade 4 Super Bowl games for 1 Super Bowl parade, but – I think there is a point where you go, winning one still is better than trying 4 times and failing. Because nobody ever talks about in the 1960s how many times the Lakers got to the final. They don't bring it up because it doesn't matter. It's a fault of our culture, but it exists. We want to know not anything about the labor pains. We want to know what the baby looks like. And that's the team that I always remember because they were loaded with Hall of Famers. I mean, those Laker teams were great teams. And they never got really blown out by the Celtics, but they never beat them. And to this day, and as history goes on, it'll be forgotten more and more. Those Laker teams, you know, they went 6 times and didn't get past the Celtics. That's a bigger accomplishment than the Bills, and nobody talks about them. It's one of the cruelties of our culture. If you don't win, you failed, and you failed miserably.
Given what the Lakers are going through right now, it might be the right time to start hanging some compliments on that run that no one wants to compliment because it's a lot better than whatever the hell the Lakers are now.
Problem is, one of the victims of that run is working across the hall in Jerry West. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
You're right.
The Lakers' history is now part of the reason why they're screwed. It's because they kept going back into the alumni magazine to say, who do we want to run our team this week? And that's why they are where they are right now.
Would you pen for Deadspin, this is the most entertaining the Lakers have been in years? You're loving this. You are loving the burning dumpster that is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well,
you're giddy about
it. Yeah, well, and it's not because it's the Lakers, but it's because everybody's playing, waving their dirty laundry out where you can see it. Even the Knicks have a level of propriety about their failures. The Lakers, they can't wait to show you what's worse about them than 2 days ago. They can't do it. They all leak to specific reporters. They all try to get their stories out on an almost daily basis. It's almost as if they prefer humiliation to irrelevance. And that's a weird place to be. Slander me, but don't ignore me.
I'm not going to be here.
I mean, he's part of the problem. Kobe Bryant's part of the problem. The only ex-Laker in that elite list who's come away with his dignity is the one guy who's never gone back to work for the team, and that's Kareem. Kareem's got bigger and better things to do than worry about a basketball team. Everyone else, I mean, they're fighting over what they think is the remains of a great picnic that just ended.
It's so weird that Kobe Bryant still holds so much sway and influence over a team he hasn't played for in years.
The same can be said for Magic Johnson, for that matter.
But at least Magic was like in the building, still cashing a paycheck with the Lakers trademark on it. Kobe's done.
No, but Kobe's guy is the general manager.
Oh, I know.
Kobe's doing it one step away, but he's doing it.
Do you think Kobe is the shadow GM?
I think he's got a lot to say about it. I believe that the end game on all this is a lot of people positioning for the moment when Jeannie Buss finally says, this isn't fun anymore, and I don't want to do this. And it's not about fame or anything else. Fame works both ways. If you're famous and things are going bad, you're getting beaten up by street vagrants. It's never good. And not just the last 6 years, but the last 2 years in particular, she's been the public face of the team, and she's gotten nothing but grief for it. And I think part of the pressure here is when she's finally just going to throw her hands up in the air and says, I'm selling this. $5 billion. First one to come at me with all the cash, you can have it.
Right. Better to be a billionaire than getting dragged through the headlines at the Times every 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's a billionaire now, but
extra billionaire.
It's about getting out.
Right.
I mean, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to.
And look, she's
because this is not going to get better.
She's billionaire on paper. She sells that team. She's billionaire liquid.
Oh yeah, but but I think it won't be the search for cash that forces her to do this. It will be she's just tired of being a punchline.
One of the best writers, Ethan Sherwood Strauss of The Athletic, joins us at 4 o'clock right now. We're taking your calls till we get to Ethan. This is Michael Concord. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to call in and give some perspective on the KD situation, the whole Warriors thing. I've been trying to call for a few days, so apologize if I'm a little late here. But I want to give perspective as think of the Warriors. All right, now, bear with me. Follow me here. Think of the Warriors as an ice cream sundae, all right? Got your ice cream sundae. Ice cream sundaes are delicious. You got your ice cream. You got your nuts. You got your chocolate syrup, right? You maybe throw a banana in there. Boom, right? Ice cream sundae, banana split, whatever you call it, right? Delicious.
We're following along. We got it. We see a delicious sundae right in front of us.
Delicious, right? Okay. Then you go ahead and let's say you want to add some Skittles to your sundae. I love Skittles, but do Skittles belong on my sundae?
No.
Maybe not, right? KD is the Skittles to our sundae, all right? He's a great player. He's delicious. He's great. He just doesn't mix specifically well with the Warriors. Yes, they won championships with him. Yes, he's MVP. He's amazing. But let's not forget, we already won championships without him.
But here's the deal.
Reminds everybody how good we were without him.
But, Michael, it's overkill that you'd want to have in case you needed to overkill. I mean, of course, it's a nuclear option that they did not need. But it's good to have it.
No, but they did need it. And the reason why they needed it is because they saw how close they came to being one and done. They damn near lost to Oklahoma City.
Right. He was.
And he was the main reason why. And they did lose to Cleveland. They came away from that experience realizing we're not invulnerable. All right. 2015, we might have just been kissed on the head by God. We've got to get better. We've got to get deeper. And we're going to get deeper, not on the bottom end like most teams do. We have a chance to get deeper on the top end. So they went out and got Durant, and they are better for it because they haven't lost the title since. I mean, the idea that somehow that the Warriors are better without him basically forces you to say that the only championship that really matters is the first one. And while I like nostalgia as much as the next nine people, the only thing you can win is the thing that's in front of you. And he's done nothing but succeed in helping them do that. And he's not only just succeeded, he's pulled them out of a lot of scrapes when they might have faltered. Just as Curry has, just as Thompson has, just as Green has, just as Iguodala has. The idea that somehow taking him away from this makes it better is so preposterously idiotic that the only way you can justify it in your own head is if you say the Warriors can only be one thing, and that thing was the 2015 team. And that makes no sense to me.